Ever thought about getting rid of anxiety? How about just easing it up a bit? Or maybe a little of both? Check out the powerful safe system I created to help you deal with anxiety in a whole new way over at quietbegins.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani and I am here to help you increase your emotional intelligence so that you can avoid dysfunction, handle toxic situations with grace and ease, and show up as your authentic self. Everything I talk about on the show is my personal opinion and is meant for informational and educational purposes only. Always consult a medical or psychological professional before making any changes that could affect your physical or mental health. All right, I've had an email in the hopper for a while. I thought I was going to address it on my other podcast, Love and Abuse, but I've decided to address it here because it is something that I'm sure a lot of people deal with. This person wrote and said they have ADHD, and they were hurtful to the people they care about. And this person actually said that he was hurtful to his, his girlfriend. And he said, you know, I didn't realize I was being hurtful. You know, I have ADHD, and some things come so quickly. And I have to deal with it, and so does my girlfriend. My mistake was that for too long, I believed that I had no influence, and I would just justify it when I ended up acting out. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't try to manipulate her for my own good. I just didn't understand what the heck was happening with life and basically have had tantrums. What this needs is understanding from the other person, and at the same time, it needs recognition from myself to prevent myself from ending up in some sort of downward spiral that I have to calm down from before feeling completely fine again. My friends and family do see exactly the person I am when I am with her. Our problem was that we never brought my issues to light, and I never believed that I actually had an influence on my actions, and when I do mess up, I can deal with them in a more compassionate way. Maybe this is what you were saying all the time, but it's hard for a person with ADHD to see anything than their thoughts of doom in a bad situation. They need to calm down, and then they need to deal with it appropriately. This is where I fail too often, and I see it now, thanks to you. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. I suppose that I want to say that not every abusive person is the same. My dad is much worse than me, but my mom is extremely understanding and sees his value, his fears, and his difficulties in life. She accepts them while still standing up for herself. He sees what he does too. She just gives him the space to figure this out, and he knows. He now seems too old to change, but that doesn't change the fact that the mutual understanding is more important than the abuse to stop immediately. I have a difficult time understanding other people because of ADHD and often feel extremely misunderstood. It frustrates me, and sometimes I'm not able to cope with it. Thank you for your insights. All right, that was most of the email. I didn't read the beginning of it, but it's basically saying, you know, I've been listening to your shows, and my girlfriend told me I was abusive, and it shocked me. However, the more I listened, I can't agree with everything you said. And what he's saying is that because he has ADHD, he thinks that other people should be accepting and understanding of that. And I think to a certain degree, let me just give you my quick answer to this. I'm sure I'll expand upon it. My quick answer to this probably has to do with a meme I just created not too long ago. Let me pull it up on Instagram. You can follow my Instagram feed if you want. I post every now and then. There's a meme that I wrote up, and it just looks like chalk on a chalkboard. It says, never ever use someone else's suffering as a reason to tolerate their bad behavior. I'm not necessarily talking about the person who wrote. I might be talking about his mother. I might not be. I'm just telling you this to never ever use someone else's suffering as a reason to tolerate their bad behavior. And that goes deeper into their past, because there's a lot of people that, I mean, a lot of compassionate people, a lot of empathetic people that will get with those who have suffered in some way, some sort of trauma, some sort of event in their past. And their heart goes out to that person because they've suffered. But the problem is sometimes the people who have suffered, who haven't sought healing or can't find healing or are trying to work on themselves, they can also be hurtful. You know that phrase, hurt people hurt people. That's basically where that comes from. If you've been hurt or traumatized in the past and you have not been able to deal with that effectively and in a healthy way to work on that in yourself, and instead have turned it outward toward other people because you don't know how to cope with it, then that could turn into abusive behavior. And I'm not necessarily disagreeing with the person who wrote in. At the same time, I don't want anyone to go around thinking that when you are being abused, that you should accept that abuse because the other person suffers with something. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be compassionate and empathetic. It doesn't mean you shouldn't feel for them in some way if you want. But it does mean that if you're listening to this show right now, I would rather you be in a healthy situation where you can get to the point where you can choose to be in a toxic situation or not. This is where me and the person who wrote the message will probably agree, I'm assuming. We'll probably agree on this, is that when the person that you're with or that has been victim to your hurtful behavior gets to the point where, like his mom, can stand up for themselves and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong and I won't accept it. It is not good for us. It is definitely toxic. It is hurtful and I won't accept it. When you get to that point and you can feel good standing up for yourself and put that person in their place, for lack of a better way to say it, if you can be in that empowered state of mind, in that powerful place inside yourself, honoring yourself, standing up for your boundaries and your values, and let someone know that their behavior is unacceptable, then when they do behavior that is unacceptable, and you stand up for yourself, and they stop the behavior, then you can choose to be in that relationship or not. You can choose to make that a relationship you want to keep or not. And so the person who wrote, there's a certain degree to where I disagree, and there's a certain degree that I agree. A lot of degrees and agrees there, but there's a certain level of agreement and disagreement that I have with you. Yes, if you have ADHD and things come quickly at you and you need to learn to process this stuff before you respond or react, then absolutely, you got to work on that. You got to, you know, there's other podcasts that talk about ADHD and they're specialists in that, and definitely reach out to them. Of course, reach out to a professional that works with that so that you can learn the appropriate coping mechanisms so that you can control it so it doesn't hurt your relationships. And I think that's important. But this is the part of it I don't agree with. I don't necessarily agree that people have to be more tolerant of toxic or abusive behavior, regardless of your history. I don't want to make that sound like you're the bad guy. This isn't about you being a bad guy. This is about bad behavior. Whether you do it or somebody else does it, it's about bad behavior. Just like if you were at, let's just say, a work situation, and every day your boss came out and he poured water over your head. Let's just say he did that or she did that every single day. This report is terrible. This is the worst report I've ever seen. Water over your head. Whole office looks in shock, and a couple of people laugh because they don't like you. And now you're humiliated, and now you got to go dry yourself off. But you need the job, and maybe you should be more tolerant because your boss had a rough childhood, and they were abused, and you know that they went through a lot of trauma. So this is just their way of letting off some steam. You know where I'm going with this, and I don't mean to make it sound so exaggerated and so unfair. That's not what I'm trying to do at all. I'm just saying, when you are the victim of any type of toxic behavior or abusive behavior, or anything that just makes you feel bad, anything that makes you fear, like if you're in fear some of the time or most of the time, you don't want to be in that state of mind all the time. Even people that feel empowered to stand up for themselves could be in fear every day because they don't know what's coming next. I don't know how many people can find fulfillment and satisfaction and love in a relationship where they have to show up on guard all the time, because at least for me, one of my top values in a relationship is a feeling of security and safety and feeling good knowing that I can trust the person I'm with. And what happens in relationships is if you're with somebody who's toxic or harmful in some way, those values will be violated. And so you're in a relationship where your values are getting violated. And you could say, yes, but I should be more tolerant and I should be more resilient and I should be more compassionate because they went through a lot. I think those are all noble, wonderful qualities, but when your values and your boundaries get violated time and time again, it's going to wear on you and it's going to make you unhappy. And even if you had the energy to work with someone, if they aren't improving day by day by day, what ends up happening is that the victim of all that behavior takes one for the team every single day, waiting for and hoping that the other person will improve. With that said, it still sounds like I'm more disagreeing with this person who wrote than I'm agreeing with them. But I understand too, I was in the position of the emotionally abusive person for most of my life, up until my 40s. Now I'm 51. In my early 40s, I started learning that I was emotionally abusive. And I learned that because I lost so many damn relationships. I started understanding that I was the common denominator for every relationship that I lost. And since I didn't want to lose relationships anymore, I finally stopped having them. That was my solution. I said, you know what? I'm going to stay single because I keep losing relationships. So I'm not going to get into any more relationships, at least until I'm ready. That will be my solution until I fix myself or figure this out. And that's what I did. I decided after my divorce, this is it. Well, actually, after my divorce, I got onto a dating site thinking that I should get into another relationship so I could be happy again. And I realized that was my pattern. It's very helpful when you learn and understand your patterns. And that's what I figured out. It's like, oh, gee, you know, after every relationship that ended, I got into another relationship. So what I decided to do was break my pattern. And that's what I did. I interrupted my pattern. I was on the dating site for a month, and then I stopped. That was it. And during that time is when I decided that I needed to heal. And coincidentally, during that time, right before I got off the dating site, that's when I met my current girlfriend, who I stayed friends with, but told her I do not want to date. She was 1,000 miles away, so it was perfect. I don't want to date. I'm not looking to date. I need to heal. And I told her all this. I need to heal. I just got out of a divorce. I'm pretty much tainted goods right now. And she liked my honesty, and we kept our friendship for months and months and months until I felt like maybe we could try something and see where it goes. And then the rest is history, and I've been in a great relationship ever since. That was just a quick side story, but where I'm going with this is that I decided to stop dating and stop being in relationships to help myself heal or figure out what was going on. Why am I losing all these relationships? And it was the end of my marriage, or at least the last year of my marriage, where I finally understood that I was being emotionally abusive. And I didn't even know that term back then. Emotionally abusive? I'm being abusive? I'm abusing someone? That's like the worst word ever. I don't want to be known as that. So I was starting to learn all the behaviors of emotional abuse back then. The behaviors that I was doing, one of the biggest ones I was doing was being so judgmental. I was highly judgmental, I was highly critical, and I was also very good at manipulating and withdrawing love, giving her the silent treatment, and just making her feel very bad about herself. Definitely not proud of this at all. I've done a lot of work on this, a lot of healing. I created an entire show on emotional abuse over at loveandabuse.com because I've learned so much about it. But the reason I share this story with you is because I didn't know I was hurtful, just like this person who wrote. He didn't know he was hurtful. Neither did I. I look at my past, all the relationships that ended, and I say, you know, thankfully those people left me. Thankfully, all my partners left me, because I would never have stopped being hurtful. I would never have gotten the accountability and the consequences that I needed to get in order to stop being hurtful. Yes, it was so painful that all those relationships ended, and it was exactly what I needed, the kick in the butt that I needed to stop looking at them and blaming them for not doing what they were supposed to do, or being more tolerant, or being more resilient, or going to couples counseling with me and being more accepting and understanding. It had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with me, and I took full responsibility for my life, and then I worked on my healing and focused on myself and promised myself that I would no longer be judgmental toward the people I love. And in fact, I told myself, if I ever feel a judgment coming on, this is one of my lessons, if I ever feel a judgment coming on about them, I will turn it around, point the finger at me, and ask myself, why am I not being accepting of them? So I turn that focus around onto myself. If you're going to take anything from this episode today, that is one of the biggest lessons I've learned. Every time I wanted to judge someone else, I turned it around. You know, I see this arrow in my head. It's pointing at them. I turn that arrow around, point it back at me. I can't focus on them now. I have to focus on me. I'm being judgmental about something they're doing, something I don't like. So if I turn that arrow around and point it at me, I have to ask myself, why can't I be accepting of that behavior? And if I can't be accepting, this is the second part of it, if I can't be accepting of that behavior, then why am I sticking around putting them through this misery of my treatment of them? This is taking responsibility. I'm taking responsibility for the way I'm treating them. So I just turn the arrow around, point it at myself. If I can't be accepting of their behavior, whatever it is, even if it's not wrong or bad, if I can't accept it, then it still comes back to me. It's not about them at all. It shows a trait or a quality in me that is unaccepting of someone else's individuality. This was all a journey for me. It was a very difficult but enlightening journey to go through, because emotionally abusive people are typically so focused on someone else. Why aren't you changing? Why don't you do this? Why can't you do that? I'm going to make you do that. I want to manipulate you into doing that. Once that arrow is turned around and pointed at yourself, you can't do any of that anymore. You can't point at the other person. You can't tell them what to do. You can't force them to do anything, because it's all about you becoming more accepting of another person. And this person who wrote me might say, well, why can't my girlfriend be more accepting of my behavior? Because someone who is exposed to toxic or hurtful behavior on a continual basis will wear down and eventually feel so bad in a relationship that even if they have the most compassion and empathy for you, they've lost it for themselves. This is the part that I'm hoping I can convey to you, even though the person who wrote and said he has ADHD, and that is definitely a medical issue that he probably needs to have checked out or work on. It doesn't matter, because even if he couldn't control his behavior and people should have empathy for what he went through, the other person won't be able to stick around because they've lost empathy and compassion for themselves because they continually expose themselves to something that hurts them. Even the kindest, most compassionate, friendliest person around can only tolerate so much. And that toleration ends usually when they've run out of self-compassion and self-empathy, because they're giving it all away. They're giving all their compassion and empathy away to someone else, and now they have none left for themselves. And when you don't have anything left for yourself, you're not fulfilled. You don't have any energy at all. You don't feel like doing it anymore. So you want to get out. And believe me, this doesn't mean I don't sympathize for the person with a condition that can't be controlled or is very difficult to control. Because it sounds like I'm saying, hey, if you have ADHD, you're out of luck and you're just going to have to deal with it. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. You know what? He said his mom deals with it. She figured it out. She seems to have a somewhat manageable relationship. I don't know if it's a loving relationship. Perhaps it is. But she's made a choice to stay, and there are people that will do that. And if she's found a way to tolerate and see all the good stuff, and there's enough good stuff to keep her fulfilled and happy in the relationship, then maybe it can work out. Maybe it's just someone's temperament and she's learned to deal with it, and let's get through this together. Maybe that's her attitude. Maybe that's her husband's attitude, and that's great. And I think some people can do that. If you listen to this show, I probably won't tell you that you should be more tolerant. I don't think I can do that and stay in alignment with my values. I don't think I can do that and stay in alignment with wanting you to be around healthier people. I'm not saying that the person with ADHD or any other people that do toxic behavior are bad. I'm not saying that at all. We are all capable of doing behavior that somebody might consider hurtful or bad. I think it's a matter of when somebody tells you, hey, you're doing hurtful behavior, or when you do this, it hurts me, that you should definitely take that to heart and realize that maybe something needs to change. And if you write to me and tell me I can't change and I am abusive, then I guess these are my final words, is that if you know you can't change and you can't stop abusing, then why would you expose anyone else to that abusive behavior? Again, that sounds depressing for the person who wrote, and I don't mean it to be that way. I'm just trying to highlight something that maybe you haven't considered, is that it's very difficult for some people to stay in a toxic relationship because they are exposed to it so much that they lose themselves in it, and it becomes all about the person who's being toxic. But someone who is abusive or hurtful and can't help it, they're either going to learn through the consequences by losing relationships that they need help, either professional help or working on themselves in some way, shape, or form, or they find someone who already knows how to deal with that. Because this may be my final comment on this. When you're with someone, especially in a romantic way, those people aren't necessarily supposed to be a resilient coach or a brilliant therapist. They're not necessarily equipped. Most people just get into a romantic relationship hoping that this person will love them and treat them nicely, and they can go out and have fun together, and they can enjoy home together, and they have fun in bed together, and all this stuff is supposed to be more fun than not. Yes, there are hard times, there are ups and downs, but it should be more fun than not, or at least more enjoyable and fulfilling and satisfying than not. But when it becomes all about worrying about what the other person is going to do next, the fun is sucked out of it. And very few people can stay in a situation like that. So I don't want what I've said today to depress anyone that knows they have an issue and knows they can't stop hurting someone or just can't control their temper or have ADHD and they can't process things fast enough. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm giving you a perspective of someone that's in a situation like that with someone that they might be getting exposed to something day after day after day that even the most sympathetic, kindest, caring, supportive person will eventually get worn out, because if there's no improvement, then they know that there never will be. Because that's another thing I teach on this show. You got to look at what has happened to predict what will happen. And what I mean by that is, has the situation been good and that trend line has been going to the right and up? Or is it steady with ups and downs? Or has it been going to the right and down? Or has it stayed down? And when you look at that trend line, what you've seen and what you're getting today is always what you'll get tomorrow. And I want to say that I say it's always what you'll get tomorrow, and that could be 100% wrong. But the reason I say it's best to believe it will happen tomorrow is so that you don't get stuck in a rut hoping it changes. because a lot of people will get stuck in a rut hoping things will change because they showed up 3 weeks ago and they were so nice, and hopefully they'll be nice again. And if they are nice again, maybe the trend line will change. But when were they nice before that? Oh, it must have been, 3 months. So there was a 3 month and then there was a 3 week. But what about the all that time in between? Oh, yeah, that was terrible. So now we have just two ups out of all these downs. And that's the difficulty. We see this trend. And if we don't choose to see that trend continuing, then we will continue waiting for that next good moment. And that's a challenge. And that's why I talk about what I talk about over at Love and Abuse. And I talk to both sides. You know, if you listen to my Love and Abuse program, I'm mostly talking to the people that experience emotional abuse and control and manipulation. But I also talk to the person who's the perpetrator of the hurtful behavior. And I even have a program called Healed Being for the perpetrator of the behavior. And so I tackle both sides with somebody who, like wrote today, has an issue that there is something that affects them that causes them to do things in a way that are interpreted as hurtful, or maybe they are purposefully hurtful or unintentionally hurtful. No matter what, the end result is the other person's hurting. And I think it's just so important to understand that when the other person is hurting by something that you did, whether you can control it or not, that it's important to have enough love for them to not want to expose them to it. Does that mean you should leave the relationship? Does that mean you should get a divorce? Does that mean that you should separate? I'm not saying any of that. It doesn't mean any of that. It means that if you love them, you don't want to be exposing them to hurtful behavior by you or anyone. And I think it's very important that if you are the one causing that behavior, that you do whatever you can, no matter what it takes, to learn how to stop it. Because there's a lot of people that love people who hurt them. And I hear the following words so often, I can't even count. I hear these words so often, I can't even count. People will write to me, and they'll say something like the following. I just want them to stop hurting me. Period. They would be in love again. They would be happy as a fly on you know what. And they would be happy as a little kid at a carnival. They would be so thrilled, and they would probably feel so much love again if the other person would just stop hurting them. I hear that over and over and over again. And I've also heard from people who have stopped hurting the other person. And let me just give you this caveat, is that when the hurtful behavior does stop, it usually gets worse before it gets better. Because the person who has been experiencing the hurtful behavior all this time now has to flush some stuff out of their system and feel some relief and try to process what it's like not being in fear all the time or not being on guard all the time. And when they flush all of that out and the fog starts to lift, they may have some words to say. They may be angry. They may be upset that they've been through this nightmare or whatever they want to call it. They've been through this awful situation all this time, and they may have a lot of things to say back. That definitely can and does happen. But my point is, the person who loves another person and still hurts them needs to love them enough to not expose them to any more hurtful behavior. And I don't want anyone, no one, to jump to conclusions and say, well, fine, I'll just get a divorce then, or fine, I'll just kill myself. I don't want you to jump to that conclusion at all. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with just stopping for a moment, looking at your behavior, asking yourself, do I want the person I love to hurt? If you answer no, hopefully you do, then you ask yourself, well, what can I do to make sure that I don't hurt that person anymore? If you say, I can't help it, then find someone to help you, or find something to help you, or find a way to help yourself. I don't know what the medical technology is for ADHD right now. I don't know if there are good medications on the market or a certain type of therapy that works better than others. I just know that when you figure out that there's something that you have that facilitates hurtful behavior towards someone you love, that when you truly love someone, you do everything in your power to make sure that they don't get exposed to that hurtful behavior. So I say this with all the love and respect for anyone going through this, and the person who wrote me, I absolutely want you to be in a great relationship. I want you to find someone that's understanding, is willing to work with you, and when you share your challenges, they say, okay, well, let's work through this together, and hopefully they can understand where you are. And not everyone's equipped to do that. The selection is more limited when you know you have behaviors that can hurt someone else, and to find someone that is not necessarily resilient, but completely understanding where they don't get personally affected by that behavior. Just like there are some people that are affected by those who scream, and then there are some people that aren't affected by that. Me, I just wait for them to stop screaming and ask, are you done? I'm not affected by that. So if my girlfriend were to scream at the top of her lungs, I mean, I probably wouldn't say, are you done? I would try to figure out what's going on, but if she was really angry, I would just wait it out. But I wouldn't run out of the house thinking, oh my God, she's going to kill me, I better get out of here. Because I've experienced a lot, and I know some people need to vent, and it's just happens sometimes with a big energy release. Fortunately, that doesn't happen. I don't have to deal with that. But my point is, sometimes you find the right person, and sometimes the person that you're with, they won't have enough energy for both of you. So they won't have enough energy for you and themselves. And that's what happens. They just get worn down. Even the most understanding person can get worn down by behavior that, if it doesn't change, they'll eventually have to take care of themselves, protect themselves, so that they don't just get totally lost and give in and have only enough energy for the other person. And that's just not fair. It's just not fair to put all of that on someone. And I think the person who wrote understands that and knows that, and probably even disagrees with a lot of what I just said, which is absolutely your prerogative. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying this is how I see things. And so this isn't an episode necessarily about ADHD or anything like that. It's about trying to control behavior. And if you can't, then what can you do to make sure that it doesn't hurt anyone else? If I knew I couldn't control myself, and I do remember this happening actually probably like 6 months ago. I was so angry. My girlfriend and I were talking about something and she wouldn't let up at all. And we rarely fight, but every now and then there's a miscommunication, or I'm trying to say something and she's not understanding, or she's trying to say something and I don't understand. You know how it is. So one night she was saying something and I said, you got to stop saying this. Stop saying it. Stop it. Stop it. And I told her to stop and she wouldn't. I said, please stop. And she wouldn't stop. And I was getting so angry. I had all these thoughts come up in my mind. I just wanted to. And I knew that if I stayed, I was either going to scream. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I decided that instead of just losing it on the spot, I just walked away because I wanted to protect her. I wanted to protect myself too. I didn't want to get into that situation. I didn't want it to blow up in my face. But I definitely felt like throwing a lot of negative energy toward her. And because of that, I had to walk away. I told myself, I'm walking away. I don't want this to accelerate to the point where I blow up. That only happened once in our relationship. And it was probably during COVID. Sometimes things are just crazy on earth and you just have to deal with it as best you can. But it was the right thing to do because I needed time to allow that energy to cool inside of me. I couldn't allow it to continue. So I feel like that I had to step away to not hurt the person I love. This isn't something I do regularly. I'm not saying that you should do this every single night or every single week. You don't give someone the silent treatment. You don't walk away. I mean, you should try to work everything out. But sometimes when you know that hurtful behavior is going to come out, it might be best just to take a break, move back, step back. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy for someone with ADHD who might not be able to process it fast enough. I'm just talking to everyone in general. This is what I mean by not exposing someone you love to hurtful behavior. So I want to thank the person who wrote, I definitely care about your well-being. I definitely want you to have the most amazing relationships. I definitely want you to find someone that does understand what you're going through, can maybe even talk to you about it and figure things out together. But often you do definitely have to travel the path alone just to make sure that you heal and bring the best version of yourself into a relationship so that the other person isn't tasked or has any responsibility to try to work things out with a situation that you are working on in yourself. Because sometimes we can't help someone who needs to help themselves. And I totally understand when it's difficult to do that. And it's helpful to have someone else, but it is important that you understand that tasking someone else with something that you're dealing with might be too much for them sometimes. And this person's mom figured it out. That is definitely a unique situation. She figured out how to do it, and I hope she's happy. And if she is, then maybe she can teach others what she does because she seems to have a grasp on it. Thanks so much for writing, and thanks for tuning into another episode. I'm going to be right back with a few words before my final words, right after this. So like other normal people, my girlfriend and I cook food. I say that because we sometimes cook food that is edible and sometimes we don't. And sometimes I cook and then my girlfriend gives me a nice compliment, which I don't know if she really means, but I want to say that my girlfriend is a great cook. She cooks with a lot of variety and she's very creative. And it wasn't until I think it was like 3 years ago, we got our first meal kit from HelloFresh, and we were just amazed how much we were missing in life and how much food and how many flavors you can put together. And I thought all this time that my girlfriend was creative, and she absolutely is. I'm not putting her down for that. I'm just saying that once we got our first meal kit, we realized that we were missing out on so much more. And today I want to talk about Green Chef, which is now owned by HelloFresh, and they actually have a wider array of meal plans to choose from. There's something for everyone. And we've now gotten meal kits from both Green Chef and HelloFresh, so they're both amazing services that I highly recommend. But I'm going to tell you about Green Chef and what they're offering today, because you can get $100 off, including free shipping, if you go to greenchef.com/brain100. That's the word brain and the number 100, brain 100. You'll get $100 off, including free shipping. They let you choose from a very wide array of easy to follow recipes, whether you're into keto, paleo, or plant powered diets, or even if you just want to eat in a more balanced way. We're omnivores, so we always get those kinds of meal kits. And like I said, we love them. I've got a meal coming called Cajun pork tenderloin with creamy cauliflower rice with bell pepper, chard, and white cheddar. And we've had their pork chop meals before, and they're delicious. So I'm looking forward to that one and so many more. And we just love how Green Chef helps us lead a healthier lifestyle. It's just easier with them because we don't have to think. We can just get the box. It has pre-measured ingredients, and everything is packaged in a way so it keeps fresh and cold. And you don't really have to do too much except make it. And we're so busy all the time that it's so nice to get something that we don't have to A, shop for, B, make sure we have all the ingredients, C, make sure that we have enough of each ingredient. All of that is taken care of for you through Green Chef. So we love Green Chef. I know you'll love it too. Head over to greenchef.com/brain100. Use the code brain100 when checking out to get $100 off and free shipping. greenchef.com/brain100. Use the code brain100 to get $100 off and free shipping now. You're going to love the number one meal kit for eating well. All right, before we close the show, I want to say one more thing about what we were talking about in the first segment, and it has to do when you're around toxic or poisonous people, and you do have compassion for them, and you do have tolerance for their behavior, and you are giving them every chance to improve themselves. I think that's noble. I think it's wonderful. And at the same time, You need to make sure that you have enough left over for yourself. You have enough compassion and caring and kindness and support for yourself so that you have enough to give to them. I like to look at that as creating abundant love and support and compassion for yourself so that you have so much that you have enough to give to someone else. If you don't feel that in yourself for yourself, then you don't have enough to give someone else. And if they are causing you or they are part of the reason that you can't give to yourself because either they're a taker or they're just taking up all your energy for some other reason, then you really have to consider your next step in this situation. And that could just be talking to them, saying, I feel really drained in this relationship. I'm trying and it's just not working. So let's figure this out. Let's work through this together. And hopefully they say, yes, I agree. Let's work through this together. I know I do behaviors that are a problem. So yes, I want to work on this together. And if that happens, more power to them, more power to you. And I hope it works out and everything is wonderful from there. What I really want to comment on regarding that is that this is something I talk about in the Mean Workbook over at loveandabuse.com. The Mean Workbook is for emotionally abusive relationships, and I talk about how there are two types of manipulative and emotionally abusive people. The first type is the conscious abuser or the conscious manipulator. The second type is the unconscious manipulator. The conscious manipulator knows they're hurting you. They know they're being emotionally abusive, and they really don't care if you're hurt because they keep doing it. That's the conscious abusive person. The unconscious abusive person doesn't know they're hurting you and doesn't see the problem enough to stop. So you could have a relationship with someone who is hurting you and you cry and you show visible hurt, but they don't stop. And you wonder, why isn't this person stopping? They see that I'm hurting. They see that I'm crying. They see that I'm distancing myself from them. Why don't they just figure it out and stop? Because they're not conscious of the abusive behavior. That's sometimes the reason, but often it can be that way. All of my previous relationships, I was an unconscious emotional abuser. I didn't know I was doing it. I just finally figured it out after my marriage ended, and I decided to look inward. I decided to point the sign back at myself and look inward and admit that I must be the common denominator for all these problems. And I was. And this is what made me conscious of my behavior, is that I started looking at the particular behaviors that caused the outcomes that I was getting in my life and decided to do something about it. The person who wrote in the first segment, you know, he has a condition and he says things come at him really fast and he doesn't necessarily know what to do with that information, and sometimes he has these knee-jerk reactions or tantrums. He's conscious of it too, but he still has a problem controlling that behavior. I'm not putting him down for that. I'm acknowledging it, because even after I found out that I was highly judgmental and highly critical and I was withdrawing love and doing other hurtful behaviors to the people I cared about, even after I found out, it was very difficult to stop. And there's two different situations. Sure, he has ADHD and I didn't and I don't, but I think there were lessons that were missed when we were younger or were never taught about how to build healthy coping mechanisms. Because when you have healthy coping mechanisms, you know what to do instead of hurting someone else. Because you know how to cope, you know how to deal with it, and you know how to work through it so it doesn't become a problem for other people. I mean, there might be still some inconveniences and challenges, but when you acknowledge it and you become conscious of your behavior, then you have a choice to do that behavior or not. And hopefully you don't do that behavior, or hopefully you get the help you need to stop the behavior. And one of the reasons I'm mentioning the conscious abuser or manipulator versus the unconscious manipulator is that I want to make sure that you know when somebody is conscious of their behavior and they know they're hurting you and they don't work on that or get help and they still do it, there is something wrong with that picture. At least if they don't get help, there's something wrong with that picture, because what you're looking at is somebody that hurts you, knows they're hurting you, and continues to do it. That shouldn't be acceptable in your life. Again, if they're not working on it, if they don't think it's a problem, if they just blame everything on you, we have a serious situation. And don't expect that to change. You might have to do something about it. You might have to have the conversation that says, no, I can't handle it anymore. You have to stop doing this. And if they say, well, no, I'm not going to stop doing it, you might answer, so you're not going to stop hurting me, is what you're saying. They might say, well, no. Or they might say something that continues the abusive cycle, like, well, you're hurting me too, so I'm going to continue hurting you. That's not a healthy response. It might be a response. You might get that response. If they say, you're hurting me too, then you can say, okay, let's talk about that as well. So I'm going to stop hurting you. Will you stop hurting me? And, you know, that conversation is going to go on. Well, if you stop hurting me, I'll stop hurting. It can just go round and round in circles sometimes. But hopefully you have someone in your life that if they are abusive or hurtful in any way, when they learn that they are doing it, they will feel bad for doing it and want to change it. And in my case, and hopefully anyone that you're dealing with that might be hurtful, hopefully they will say, I never want to hurt you, and I will do everything in my power to make sure I never do that and I never expose you to that hurtful behavior. That's my hope for you. And hopefully you don't have to deal with anyone like that in your life, but there's 8 billion people on the planet, so we're going to probably run into those people here and there, and I hope you never do. But if you do, I hope you can remember this episode and remember what I talked about and other episodes I've talked about and other resources out there. There's plenty available that you can read up on, and I hope all of this helps. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate you. We'll be right back with my thank yous and my closing words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to remind you, you'll get $100 off and free shipping of the number one meal kit for eating well, Green Chef. Go to greenchef.com/brain100 and remember to use the code BRAIN100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. And I want to thank the patrons of the week, Stephen, Deborah, Elaine, Julie, Daisy, Carol, Brad, Jessica, Jamie, Jalpa. I am so grateful, Jalpa. I know I'm destroying your name, and I'm so sorry. I believe it is Jalpa, but if it isn't, tell me about it. Thank you so much for your donation, Jalpa. And Angel and Holly and Angela and Michelle, everyone that donates to the show or becomes a patron, I am so grateful for you. Thank you for your financial support of the show to keep us going. You are the backbone of the show. And all of those names I just read are patrons of this show. I like to call them the patrons of the week, and I just read different names every week. They are all generous supporters. And if you find value in the show and you'd like to give back, visit moretob.com, and you can choose a single donation or monthly. And if you're a monthly contributor, you can join the patron program, and I give back with private episodes and worksheets and a video archive. You can check it out at moretob.com. And a couple resources I mentioned in this episode. My other podcast, Love and Abuse, over at loveandabuse.com, is about poisonous communication and toxic behavior and how to deal with difficult relationships. If you are dealing with anything that I talked about today or something else, you will probably get a lot from that show. Head over to loveandabuse.com and check that out. And if you find yourself on the other side of the fence where you're doing emotionally abusive behavior or hurtful behavior of any type, and you just can't seem to find a way to stop, I have another program called Healed Being. Go to healedbeing.com and sign up for those lessons, and you will start the healing journey that will get you to a better place inside of yourself so that you can improve your relationships, improve your life, and stop creating the same outcomes that you've had in the past. Because when everything seems to be failing around you, sometimes it's something that you need to do inside of you. And that's why I've created the Healed Being program. So head over to healedbeing.com if that's something you think you need. And finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And my closing words of the show have to do with an organization called the Brandon Egert Foundation over at brandonegertfoundation.com. Brandon committed suicide on March 14th, 2021. His brother Seth reached out to me through email and he shared the following. I just want to reach out to say how helpful your show was for me and the reason why I'm donating today. A few months ago, we lost my brother to suicide. He was depressed, anxious, and hopeless at the same time. We started the foundation in his name, and in our first round of donations, the Overwhelmed Brain was one of the organizations that we picked. The podcast has been so helpful in my mental health struggles, and I hoped it could do the same for others. There are so many people out there suffering from the same things that Brandon did, and we think the Overwhelmed Brain can help them and give them guidance going forward. I look forward to hearing new episodes and hope this donation helps you to continue doing all the work you do. That was from Seth with the BrandonEgertFoundation.com. And boy, when I received that donation, it was probably one of the largest donations I've ever received on the show. And I was taken aback. I was extremely humbled. And I didn't know how to feel about it because here's an organization that is out there trying to get the word out to people that might be in this dark place and wanting them to know there are resources out in the world that can be helpful to them. And they've cited the Overwhelmed Brain as one of those resources. And I'm just touched, I'm honored, and I'm saddened that this had to start because Brandon is no longer with us. And I am so sorry for your loss and your family's loss, Seth, and everyone that knew Brandon. And I just have a lot of mixed feelings about this because here's an organization that accepts support and financial donations, and here they are giving to this show and other resources that they find are helpful in the world of mental health. So I am just so grateful. I am just so touched. And I told Seth I'd be reading this on the air, and he, of course, said no problem at all, and he appreciated that. And so I'm just sharing this with you because if you haven't had suicidal thoughts, somebody you know has. And I think it's just so important to let them know they aren't alone. Like, I remember my friend told me once, he said, you know, I've had thoughts of suicide. And when he told me this, I realized that I could respond like, what? You're thinking of killing yourself? What? Why would you think that? You shouldn't do that. You should see a therapist. I think that might be a response that a lot of us would have. But when you do that, what ends up happening is the person suddenly feels isolated and alienated and can start to feel distanced from you or you distancing yourself from them because of that reaction. And this is why I'm so careful about saying when you react to people that tell you some really impactful thing, like something so important that you feel like reacting, like, what? Oh my God. I think it's important not to have those reactions in many cases. One example is a child or even an adult child that comes to you and says, you know, so-and-so is abusing me or so-and-so touched me. There's a difference between these two reactions. The first one is, what? Who did this? I can't believe it. When did this happen? When did this start? There's that reaction, which could put a lot of fear in the person who's saying it. And then there's the reaction of, oh, when did this happen? How do you feel about this? What's going on? Are you okay? And having a normal conversation where it doesn't appear that they're doing anything wrong, it doesn't appear that they're getting anyone in trouble, because that can happen too. They don't want to get anyone in trouble. You're just being a safe, non-judgmental person that is hearing the information, trying to process it yourself, of course, but also showing them that you are the right person to tell. And I believe that's a good way to be when somebody tells you something so impactful and scary. Because some of this stuff is scary. Like when my friend said, you know, I've been having thoughts of suicide, I didn't have a strong reaction. My reaction was very subdued. It was caring. It was supportive. And I said, yeah, I totally get it. I've had those thoughts myself. And instead of losing a connection with my friend and making him feel like he shouldn't have those thoughts or he needs to seek professional help right away, which might scare him off, I just connected with him. I chose to be empathetic. I chose to be with him in that moment. And This is what needs to happen in the world. I believe that when somebody is sharing something with us and they are going through their stuff, if we can be with them in that moment, instead of just trying to tell them what to do or go seek a professional, if we can just be with them, then maybe they won't feel so isolated and alone and disconnected and like they're doing something wrong or they shouldn't be having those thoughts. And maybe by doing that, they'll be one step farther from the proverbial ledge. We want to let them know that they aren't alone. And most of us listening to this program have either had depressing thoughts or some of us or more have had suicidal thoughts. And so if you've had any negative thoughts, other people have as well. And just because somebody doesn't really say it or show it on the outside doesn't mean they've never had it. And if they ever approach you and want to share this information, I think it's better to have that subdued response. I think it's better to try to connect with them and don't make them think they're wrong for having thoughts like that. Just let them know they're not alone. And that can be very helpful. And I know this can be a touchy subject. It can be a big gray area because if you tell somebody not to get help, then what? And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying you just have to be careful in your response, in your approach, and try not to let others think that they are the only ones that feel this way or that they can't share this with anyone, because this is what happens, is that people don't share these thoughts that they're having with anyone and they go off and do things by themselves because they don't want to share it because they feel afraid to share it. But if we are open about conversations like this and just talk about this stuff, then maybe so many people won't be leaving us so soon. And again, this is why I'm mentioning the Brandon Egert Foundation. They gave us a generous donation. And if you know anyone or you yourself just want to know that there are others out there that have felt like you do at one time or another, then talk to somebody and reach out to the Brandon Egert Foundation over at BrandonEgertFoundation.com. If you're interested in what they're doing over there. So, so grateful. Thank you, Seth and the foundation for your donation. I am humbled and grateful. So let me end this on a positive note, because that's not always the most exciting thing to talk about. I think the positive note is to remember that negative thoughts come in waves. Like sometimes you'll have all these negative thoughts for months or even years, and then something happens in your life that changes everything. And sometimes you have to initiate that change, and sometimes others initiate that change. Like the story of somebody who was in financial debt, was totally depressed, didn't have any more money left, and decided to take their credit card and spend it on a vacation. Said, I'm going to max this out. I'm going to go on vacation because I'm having all these terrible thoughts, and I just don't care anymore. This is like when you hit the bottom, when you're ready to have this breakdown. And the person's in all this financial ruin and spends the rest of his or her credit on a vacation that they take, and it is life-changing. They love it. They're out there. They went to a place they've always wanted to go, and suddenly they're feeling better. I'm not saying you should do this. Don't listen to this as advice. I'm just saying sometimes you think you're at the bottom and you believe there's no way to bounce up after your breakdown, but this is what happens. Sometimes you have to hit the bottom. Sometimes you're swimming on that deep end of the pool and you can't hold your breath anymore, and you finally hit the bottom, and now you have this solid foundation from which to push off and make it back to the top, even when you think that there's no way back out of it. I came from that place. When I was married, my wife and I were broke. We were renting a condo, and within 2 months, we didn't have any more money left. We had to abandon the condo. We had to move into a 600-square-foot apartment with her mom, and we had to go to the soup kitchen every morning. So we did that for months, and I thought, wow, how the heck are we going to get out of this? I don't know how to do it. I've never been here before. But there are two things that happen when you're at the bottom. One of them is you can't go any lower. So it probably can't get any worse. I mean, it can, of course, but you can get to the very bottom of something. There's usually nowhere else to go. So that's one thing. The other thing is there's nowhere else to go but up. And you might have to stay at the bottom for a little bit, and it's hard, and it's no fun, and it can be depressing, but it comes in waves. As long as you are open and willing to see opportunities and take them and do whatever you can to push off the bottom. Like, I remember being broke and finally getting a job. Not a very good paying job, but it was a job and it was bringing in money. And once I got it, I said, I will never, ever be broke again. I made that promise to myself. I will never, ever be broke again. That doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means I gave myself massive incentive and motivation to make sure that never happened to me again. And of course, when you hit the bottom, there's all kinds of lessons there. I know how I got there now, and I know how to avoid it next time, but it doesn't mean it won't happen. It just means I am highly motivated to make sure that it never does. And that's what got me off the bottom and climbing back out of the hole we were in and getting into a better place in life and feeling really good about myself because I did a lot of work. I did a lot of work to get there, and I feel really good about what we went through. And this is where I want you to be. There's always a way up from the bottom. Even when there's so much pain, you can't handle it because everything has a finite period of time to stay in your life, meaning it will eventually shift. It's that AA quote, I think, this too shall pass. It does. It passes. Just remember, you're not alone. Other people have gone through what you may be going through now or have gone through, and there's always someone to talk to. And if you can't find that person in your inner circle, find someone else, because there are a lot of people in the world. And I'm going to keep saying it, you are not alone. And at least always keep an open mind, because that's where you can step into your power and be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.